Today's daf is daf Samech Hey. So we got to the bottom of Samech Adal and Reza, the Mishnah. That was a good stopping point. So the Mishnah says, Hamotze Meis. So a person finds a Meis, B'tchila. B'tchila, let's see, probably in the beginning of the first time. Nobody ever knew about this. So they found a Meis B'tchila, Mushkav Kedarko. And the Meis is lying down in the way that it would be buried. So no lo vestusasa. No. So what do you take it? Vestusasa. So you're allowed to take and remove the body, and you have to take some of the dirt with it because the mace is kone some of the dirt. So you could take it and properly bury it. So I guess the lashon betchila. If you look at Tosfos says betchila means shelo nodo lo ki kaver sham bekever. It wasn't known to him that he was ever buried. You just see a body lying down. Kedarko. The Gemara's going to explain what it means. Kedarko. So lacha is, you have to take it, says the Tosos, no lo. Nihid the kever hayadua. Even in the Quranti, when it comes to a known kever, aminam beperek nigma hardin gomar sanhedrin de asa lefnoso, one's not allowed to remove a body to place elsewhere. Though there are certain instances where one's allowed to. The Shulchan Aruch talks about some cases. Let's see if I can remember some of the cases. I think if there's a reason, if it's going to be somehow damaged, let's say, they're building highways. Not really have to build a highway, but let's say the government's building a highway and it happens to be a kever Yisrael there, so you're allowed to remove it for those purposes so it doesn't get ruined, the mace. Let's say, I think they talk about a mace is buried somewhere not with the mishpacha, not in the area, the family lots, so I believe you're allowed to also to rebury it elsewhere. Those are some of the instances that come to mind. But other than that, you're not allowed to. So even though, Tosa says, even though normally you're not allowed to, it's ashlif no, so you can take it from one kever to another kever. That's only when it was known that the individual is buried to remain there. Avalt benimsa, when it's found lying on the ground, amrinan hasam mutar lilo, they're allowed to. Now this doesn't sound like he's even buried. Is it implying that it was buried, he was digging and he happened to find a mace below the ground? So I guess it must have been buried. It must have been digging for water or for oil or something. I don't know. It comes across a Jewish body. So since no one knew about this kever, it just happened to be buried there without the intention of remaining. And therefore, one's permitted to remove it in that case. I assume this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch also. I'm not seeing it quoted. The Mishnah now says, let's say you see Shnaim. Let's say you find two dead bodies, two Jewish bodies buried there. No lon vest fusasan. You're allowed to remove two dead bodies along with the tfisa, along with some of the dirt. But let's say matzah shalosh, you find three mason. Im yesh ben zelazeh midalat amos vad shmona, harezu shchunas kvaros. Let's say there's in between each of them, between 4 and 8 amos, which I guess would be the typical space they would leave between each mace. So that's considered a shchuna kvaros. That's a neighborhood of dead bodies, and they already coned that makom. You're not allowed to just move it, and you can't assume it happened. It was just happenstance. This was done intentionally. So the Tosos writes here in the bottom here, matzah shlosha im yesh beizen lazeh midal amos vad shmona, harezu shchunas kvaros kolomrek de igloi milsa came into mishkach atlasa. Since you found three. And therefore, it's considered a base kvaros, and you can't remove them. And moreover, says Tosos, you also have to check a radius of 20 amos beyond these three mesim. Certainly, this was a cemetery. Regilim, how you look for bimaros. They used to bury in caves. There it's clear. The high the tocha shamara dal amos shmona could be Shimon de Braisa. And why the 4 8? Because they used to bury them in caves that were 4 by 8 amos. So somehow over time, I guess they got covered up and they weren't able to see the caves of some sort. So 4 to 8 amos is the typical distance they would leave between the mason that were in the caves. It is interesting that this concept of three creates a shchuna. We were learning yesterday, Weinberg was talking about a shchuna of goyim. You're not allowed to sell land to goyim. So one is okay, two is okay, but once you sell three as a unit, biyachad, even though it's even not one time necessarily, but if three are sold at some point, that's an iser to sell a shchuna to neighborhood to goyim. This idea of three being considered a shchuna is both here and both by selling to goyim.
Also, it says that if someone buys three trees, then you can maybe be korin because we assume that the Adamo was sold with Ilanos.
Right, so that's not necessarily, is that because of Shchuna of Ilanos? Because once you sell three, somebody sold some of the karka as well. But you also find three if you want to play that game. You also find three when it comes to Rishus HaRabim by Tuma. Three establishes Rishus HaRabim. If there's a suffix Tuma Rishus HaRabim, the Lacha is a tower. What's Rishus HaRabim when it comes to Tuma? Based on Sota, three people is already considered too many people. That's considered Rishus HaRabim, and it's suffix Tuma. So I'm not sure if it's called a Shchuna per se. So the mission now says, going on to Samachayim and Aleph, Bode Kemanu Lahalan Esim Amma, like Tosos had told us, that you have to check beyond those three, these three Kvaros, you have to check 20 Amos in the radius. Motz Echa Besof Esim Amma, let's say you find 20 Amos away. So then, Bode Kemanu Lahalan Esim Amma, you have to check another 20 Amos, so the radius expands now. Shir Gilun Shir Glaim Ladavar, She'ilu Tchila Matsu Not Loves Tfusasa. How do you read that line there? Let's see. So Toso says, Shiraglayim Ladavar, this is rather Rashi, I'm sorry, Rashi, this is around eight narrow lines down in Rashi, Shiraglayim Ladavar, Shehi Shchunas Kvaros Midashkach Gimel Basoch Esim Amma, from the fact that you found three within 20, that's indicative that there must have been a Shchuna here. Sheyesh Bein Zelazeb Midal Amos Vad Shmona. Now you find another one at the end of 20 Amos away. We don't say that's also happenstance. Shilu Zayichid, if this was the only one, the one you found 20 Amos away, in Matsu Mitchila, if you found it first, Hayarasha Lifnoso, Libnok Macha, you could have removed that single one you found 20 Amos away, but no less Tfusoso. But Achsha, but now, Shematsu Gimel, but that, since you found three first, Besoch Esim, Ve'echa Besoch Esim, Yeshlamad Shishchunes Kvaros. So it's interesting, it's Reglaim the Dabar. The way they read the Mishnah is as follows. So I found three Mesim here, and then 20 Amos away, I found this single one. So that one tells me it's part of the Shchuna, I need to go another 20 Amos. Because Reglaim the Dover, the fact that I found three first tells me that this is a large base Kvaros. And the Mishnah just concludes, Sheila Tchila Matsu, had I found that single one first, just that one, then the halacha would have been no loves tfusasa. I could take that one and some of the dirt and plant it elsewhere and bury it elsewhere. But since I found the three first, that tells me it's part of the Shchuna. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Matza Prat Matza. So that we said, Matzah, that was, we're darshaning, it sounds like the lashon of the Mishnah here. But the Mishnah says, Matzah, if he found. It's a really hamutza mace. What are we darshaning? Matzah? Right, the Mishnah says later on, Matzah shlosha, if he found. If he found three. So says the Gemara, Prat l'matzah. If he found, as opposed to Matzah, where it was brought to him, meaning what? So let's look at Tosos here. Tosos writes, Matza pratlim matsui. Perish ri shim haya yadua lo haya nolo. Had you known, had it been matsui, had already been known, had it been found in the past, then you can't take it and move it elsewhere. Kedam rinam perak vindigam hardin. Kever hanimsa mutilufnos. If you find one, then it's muta to remove it. But kever haya yadua, but a known kever, that's asalufnoso. So matza means it's already been found in the past. It's already yadua, it's already known. So then the Gemara says, further, mace, if he died, prat li harug, as opposed to if he was killed. So if he's killed, so it says Tosfos, prat li harug kidamin basamech de meisha chaser ein lo tfusa vein lo shchunas kvaros. So a mace that's missing a part of his body, a limb is missing, or some other part, he has no tfusa, and he's not considered part of shchunas kvaros. So what are the harug also, we're assuming that way. Let's say the harug was killed in a way where he's still shalem. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi explains, the Mefarsh explains a little bit different. I put the same idea, but he's a little clearer, I think. Meis prat laharug, shim matza echad meguyad, o shlosha meguyadim, they found him that he's all chopped up and cut up and stabbed. Amrinan dehachi yisram eishan harug, we say that it just happens to be he was killed on that spot. V'nik brusham shalom bebeis kvaros, he was buried, but it wasn't considered, didn't have a din of beis kvaros. We don't hold this as a shchunas kvaros. Ella notlin vest tfusas, and you're allowed to remove it. So that's what we learn from the word mace as opposed to a harug. Then the Mishnah says mushkav prat liyoshev kadarko liyoshev. Only if he's lying down as opposed to sitting up. I'm not sure how it works sitting up, but let's say he was positioned in a way. He's, I don't know, sitting up on a tree, dead or something like that. So that case would also, it's a happenstance. We don't call that a shchuna of kvaros. Then the Gemara says, "Kedarko prat l'sharosha munach ben yirchosav." If he's lying down in a way where it's a regular lie flat on a bed, as opposed to leaning forward, I guess crouched over, and his head's between his legs, that also that would be considered a happenstance death, as opposed to a shchuna kvaros. So Gemara says, "Tani ula bar chanina meis shechaser ein lo tfusav lo shchunas kvaros." A mace is missing a part of the body. I'm not sure how much, any part. Do we know any limb, a nail? Like at what point do you draw the line? But missing something, the lach is, it's not. There's no tfusa. It doesn't take hold of any of the dirt with it, and it doesn't create a shchuna of kvaros. The chol honey my time alarm minan. So all these, why don't we say dilma over kachavim hu? We mean, what's the shaila here? So if you look at the Mefarish here, Mefarish says two Y lines down, he says, V'chol honey my time alo, lo habi shchunat kvaros. Why are all these cases not considered shchunat kvaros? Why does it have to be kedarko? And why does it have to be mushkov? And why does it have to be mace? Bishma echad matzu dehachi hu degamin and debayin and shloshi yiduin and shloshi and shimatzin tchila kadamin lakamin. The one about you found it now as opposed to one that was known, that's pashut, why that is necessary to create a shchunat. A guy who was killed or sitting up, ochas are missing. Why were those things not? Why can that create a shchunas kvaros? Hol v'shloshen matzan tchila sheishlan shchunas kvaros my time. Says the mefarish explaining the answer to the Gemara. Dilma over kochavim whom? Perhaps it was a guy, vik for lahach, and he was buried here. V'over kochavim eino olam in haminan v'lo pashlei lahach elatray. Because the goyim cannot count towards the shchuna, the tanan matzah shnayim not l'invest tefus asa mishim hachi lo kanu mekomam. You need three people to create a shchuna and not two. How are you going to know if this mace is a goy or a Jew or not? So if it was mushkov and it was done in a kedarko, those are the ways. That's how Yidden bury there. But in terms of the goyim, they're not necessarily as makvid, so it's unclear that these were necessarily goyim, and for that reason, it's a suffix. I wonder if there's a situation, let's say you could tell that it was a Jew, from a bris milah wouldn't be enough because the goyim also get bris milah sometimes. But let's say there's something that would be indicative he was Jewish, I don't know. You find a little piece of paper, it's tucked inside somewhere that says he was Jewish. I wonder if that would work as well, even though he might be sitting up or not kedarka or something. Okay, the Gemara now says the two dots. Matzah Rosh. Sorry, I lost place for a second. Matzah Shnayim, right? Matzah Shnayim, Rosh Shalzeh Betzad Margalosov Shalzeh, Rosh Shalzeh Betzad Margalosov Shalzeh. You have two people, that the head is next to the legs of the other one, and the head is next to the legs of the other one. What, they're in a circle here, it's saying?
Just head to toe.
Head to toe. Why does it say it twice, though? There are only two people here.
Sure, their heads are the persons.
So three people, then? Or they're not side by side, you're saying? In a line or side by side? Side by side. Okay.
His head's by his feet.
Okay, fine, side by side. I thought it was like, hey, I thought it was lying in a line, but then they made us kind of bend the body, so they're, okay, side by side. It says betzad, right. It says, Matashnaim Rosh Hashazeb betzad Margulosov Shazeb, Rosh Hashazeb betzad Margulosov Shazeb. They're side by side. Ein lehen tfusav lo shchunas kvaros. It doesn't work because they're only two. But let's say you find shlosha ha'echad yadu of a shnayim tchila. Say three, you find three. One of them you knew about, but the other two you didn't know about. It was tchila, the first time coming upon this. Oh, shnayim tchila, or two of them, v'shnayim yadu. Well, now you have four. It probably should be the gears to change to al echad. Yeah, it should be echad. I have in the side here. So, oh, echad tchila v'shnayim yadu. You find one for the first time, but you two, you find that are yadu. You know about them already. Ein lem tfus vein lem shchunas kvaros. Doesn't work either. You need three that are all the same. Either all tchila or all yudum. Why does that work though? Wouldn't it be kal v'chomer though? If three find three tchila, that creates a shchuna. So certainly one tchila and two yadua should certainly make a. I guess the point was, if you have two that are yadua, so the third one should have been yadua already also. The fact that the third one isn't Yadua tells me that it probably wasn't Yadua ever, and it doesn't create a base Shchunos. Is that fair to say? Ah. Yes, yeah, so exactly. If you look at Tosos, there's no reason for this. Tosos quotes from the Rashbam here. the last few narrow lines of Tosfos, Halacha Moshe Mishinai, says the Rashbam, there's no way to explain this. Misvara, it sounds like he's stuck. Misvara, what I'm saying is correct. That really, if Tu Yaduan wants Tchila of Kavachomer, that should be a Shchuna. He says, ah, you're right, but to Halacha Moshe Mishinai. But then says the Re, Perish Tam, Medavar, Dein Lanu Lomar Shchunas Kfaros, a base Kfaros, Hayahoil, Vinikbu Sham Gimel Mesim. Just because three people are buried there doesn't mean it establishes a base Kfaros. Kaven Deacha no de Tchila. Since one was known already, you should have known the other ones that were there also. The fact that you didn't know about the other ones tells me that the other ones were not Yadua, and therefore it couldn't be a Shchunas Kvaros. Because again, in the case where three, let's say three of them that I find for the very first time, the first time, it must have been a basic Kvaros, but we kind of lost the Mesorah. We forgot about the history of it. But if we have three, and one we knew about, and two we didn't, that already sounds a little bit fishy. You didn't know about all three, or you don't know about all three. The fact that you didn't know about some and not the others tells me that the other ones were kind of just thrown in there, and it never created a base shchunos, a shchunos kfaros. Okay, the Gemara now quotes a ma'isa here, or halfway down the Amud here, ma'isa b'Rabbi Yishavav Shebadak. Rabbi Yishavav was checking. U'mata shnayim yidum ve'echat chila. He found two mason that they were familiar with in this place, but then he found the third one, which they never heard of before. They never knew there's a third mace buried there. And he wanted to say, ah, this is a shchuna. We have two yadua. There's a third one that's tchila. We have a total of three mace in here. This should create a shchuna kfaros. So Amar lo Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says to him, kol shiagata l'reik yagata. Everything, all your efforts were for naught. It didn't create anything. Why? Because lo amru shchuna kfaros ela l'shloshi yadum o l'shloshi tchilasan. Because the klal is we have, when to create a shchunas kfaros, it either has to be three that are known already, three mason that we're familiar with, and that creates a base kfaros, or three that were not known, that will also create a base kfaros. But to mix and match will not work. And that's Rabbi Kiva's response. Okay.
Does anyone ask why? Bottom line is there's three bodies.
Three bodies. So in order to create a base kvaros, it has to be that they were done, placed there, and buried there intentionally to create a base kvaros. So if there are three that were unknown, and we find them together, it must be that we just lost the history of this. It must have been many years ago they were buried. We just didn't know about it. It got covered up somehow. So we're going to assume this was a base kvaros many years ago and still has to continue to be a base kvaros. But if there's a one or two mason that were there that we knew about, so we should have known about the third one that was there also. The fact that we did not know about the third one probably tells us that a third one was thrown in there, not to create a base kvaros, but they just needed a place to bury it, get rid of the body, or maybe he just happened to die there, and just happenstance, and that cannot create a shchunas kvaros. The two dots now, the Gemara says, no linus tuhusasan. So we're talking about a situation where a person found the dead body, and we're assuming the case where it's not shchunas kvaros, so he's allowed to take the body, he's supposed to take the body and bury it in a base kvaros, and when he takes the body, he's supposed to take tfusasa, some of the dirt along with it. So the Gemara explains, heichi dami tfusa. What's tfusa? How much dirt? A little bit, a spoonful? How much dirt do you have to take? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Kra, v'nesasani mimitzrayim tolimi. So the pasuk in Bereishis, Vayechi, is talking about Yaakov Avinu, right? It's the pasuk says, v'shachavti im avosai unesasani mimitzrayim v'kvartani b'kvurasam v'yomar anochi esek v'recha. So Yaakov is giving the orders to Yosef that I want you to take me, bury me with my fathers, with Avram and Yitzhak in Maras HaMachpelah, and lift me up in Mitzrayim and bury me there. So what's going on here? So says the Gemara again, Nesasani mi Mitzrayim. What do you mean take me from Mitzrayim? Yaakov doesn't have to describe to Yosef where he is. We know where he is. So mi Mitzrayim, tol imim, from Mitzrayim, take some of Mitzrayim with me. Take some of the Afar with me. The Kama Shir Tusa, and how much dirt are you supposed to take? So this is the source of taking the dirt, but how much? Perish Rabbi Elazar, notel afar tichoach, v'chofer b'besulas shlosh etzbaos. You take some of the afar tichoach, some of the soft dirt that's around the body, around the mace, and then you dig b'besula. B'besula is the undug dirt, the fresh dirt there, the earth there that's still hard. You have to dig gimlet's bowls worth. I'm not sure if that means deep, three deep, and then the whole length of the body. Yeah? Okay, fine. You take some of the soft dirt, and then three etzbos deep, the width and length of the mace, and that you take along with it. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Mesive v'kama shir tvusa. Gemara quotes a brisa. What's the shir of tvusa? Perish Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok. The same. Perhaps there's a bunch of gersalas here, whether it's the same person before or not. But he says no till esa kismin. Kismin are usually like wood chips. So that's what Tosa says. Kismin referred to perish min ha'aron shel shayish shenichta. It's not wood, but really from the marble. Some of the marble chippings came off. You take that. And then the Gemara says, Vesa kisasos. Kisasos, that says, Tosa says, Yesh omrim kmo kozezes adama. I don't know, kozezes adama, do they define that? Some type of dirt?
Clumps.
Clumps of dirt, okay. Vesa vizorik es ha'vadayin. And you throw the vadayin. So it says, Tosos, Mashe vadai leno mina mace, that which certainly did not come from the mace. I guess the dirt that wasn't touching the mace, maybe? Anything that was vadai not part of the kvura, you throw away, you don't need to bring. Umeniach as a sveikos, anything that's a savik, whether or not it was from the mace or not. So I guess the point is, we're concerned that some of the mace has decomposed and has been absorbed in the dirt. Is that that must be the cloud behind this. So absorbed in the dirt, and you need that part of tchis ha-mesim, or that's part of the mace, whatever the reason is, you have to bury it properly. So anything that you know for sure wasn't part of the mace, you could throw out. Anything that's a savek, you have to take with you. Vashar mitzarif, and everything else is mitzarif lerov binyan osho mace, is joined together for the majority of the binyan, the different bones of the mace. Ulerov atzamos, and that shear of a bone, the mount of a rova. Lemali tarvod rekav. So what's going on here? Let's look at Tosos more here. So Tosa says, Vashar, shubara lo shub min ha-mace, and the rest that you know for sure is part of the mace, along with the suffix, whether it was part of the mace, you take all that together. And that's going to be mitzdarif to the rov binyan or the rov minyan, ulerov al hakav latami ba'ohel, ulmali tarvan. So what's he saying about all this stuff that adds all, that's all taken into account, I guess, when you need to check for the shear of how much is matame, all the shear that we remember of how much malitarvad and rovat samos, all those things, this dirt that definitely came vade from the mace is part of that shear, actually, because it has decomposed into dirt. That's part of the mace. So it comes from all this. So the kasha of the Gemara is, we said above how much you have to take, it was a very defined, it was three etzbos. But now the Gemara quotes a brisa that's a little bit more loose about this. Whatever is part of the mace, whatever is suffic part of the mace. But there's no real defined shear. So the Gemara answers as follows. Fu the Amar Kiai Tana, he holds like the following Tana. The Tanya, Kam Mashir Tusa. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Ben Azai, no till offer Tichach V'chofer B'Besula Shlosh Etzbos. So the first brisa that we had in the name of Rabbi Elazar, that's why they changed it yourselves, because it couldn't be Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok. The first price was going according to Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Ben Azai, that you take a very defined amount of three etzbos below, after tikach and three etzbos. But there's a machlokes according to Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok. He says, no, you take about whatever it's vale part of the mace you take, and any sfeikos you take as well, and there's no real defined shear. Gemara now says in the bottom, the last two words, quotes from the Mishnah, Bode Kemanu. So we're talking about a situation in the Mishnah of a person came across three dead bodies, and it's been established now that this is considered a Shchunas Kvaros. This is considered a neighborhood of dead bodies. It's a base Kvaros. So once you find three basin within the same radius of each other, now you have to start checking within a 20 amos radius around this area to make sure that there are no other bodies here. So the Gemara says on the top of Samech Chemer Beis, Amarava. Badakufana. So what happens if you find the first one? Umatza says the Tosos Amar Rava Badak Umatza Gam Sheni Ufana Badak Veshkach Badak Od Umatza Shlosha. So you find one, and it's all by itself. So you pick it up and you move it elsewhere. You start to do a little bit more digging, and you find the second one. So it's still not a shchuna, and you fana. You take it out and you bury it elsewhere. But what happens, you now comes, you find the third one here. You badak ve'eshkach, you find the third one now. And now what happens, you realize, l'mafreya, this was actually a shchunas kvaros. So what happens is, lo haif mifanile gavi hanach tre, lo hani tre le gavi haichad. So you move these first two bodies to another base kvaros. You find the third one, and so maybe once we, you know, kind of removed his neighbors, maybe we should remove him also and put him with his neighbors in the base kvaros. We don't do that. We leave him there because it's really a shchunas kvaros. It's us, even though now he's by himself. It was still established initially as a base kvaros, so you have to leave that one guy by himself. And at the same time, once you put the two others in that other base kvaros, you can't take them out and rebury them with the other guy. Whatever happened, you have to stay.
Presuming that there aren't more.
Well, it does make a difference if there are or not. Because
that way he wouldn't get long, is my point.
But well, since initially he was with two other people, so we have to assume it was a base kfaros initially. Now, even though right now he's only by himself, it doesn't take away from the fact that it was established initially a base kfaros. The person has a base kfaros, the Rachman al-Tlan, and it gets ruined in somewhere in Europe, and they've taken out all the bodies, and there's one mace left there. It still has a din of base kfaros, even though it's by himself. As long as initially it was established
how
as a base kfaros.
How much of an area?
The Mishnah said that once you've established a Shchunas Kfaros, it's you have to check 20 amos in radius.
Right.
You find another one, you have to check another 20 amos. But once you don't find that anymore, then you assume the borders are there.
A 20 amos circle from this third guy is a business.
Exactly. Right. Now, also, I would assume.
They find the unusual line all the time.
Really?
They're building that big building down, Azraite Saragula, in Malatafna, Arzabiria.
Okay, I think I saw it being built. Yeah,
that project was on hold for years because they found bones.
Uh huh.
Years.
Interesting. I guess there's some issue with highways also. I keep hearing this maybe right. They're building highways and they're concerned of certain base kfaros.
It could be Arabs. Does that matter?
If it's Arabs, we're not concerned with it.
You don't know.
We don't know.
Right.
So that's why the Mishnah told us certain ways to know whether it was a base kfaros of Yisrael or not. If the body was found lying down properly in a nice way, then we assume it's a Jew. If it wasn't done that way, it was possibly a Goy. Okay. So Gemara now says, Ikadamri, three lines from the top. Ikadamri, they're those who say, Amar Rava, Kevan Dishinasna Rishus Lifanos. Once you're given permission to remove the body, Mifana Lahon, you're allowed to even remove the third mace. That's the other pshat. So what's the hesber? Because you're given Rishus to remove the first two? I think we ask the question, what do you mean? V'lashvinu shchunas kvaros? But now that we know that there were a total of three there initially, so it's established as a shchunas kvaros, so there's no heter anymore to remove it. Amarish Lakish, Ila Mata Vitiara Tiharu Eretz Yisrael. So, here we go. Here's a Mefarish here. The Mefarish says, Amarish Lakish, Ila Kalamar Kishinisna Rishus Lefanos Bishlamata Elechad Vishnaim. Initially, when we get given Rishus to this person to remove the first and second body, so initially it wasn't established as a base kfaros, ki hadar umata lahachshlishi. When you now find the third body, mifani le gavayu, you're allowed to remove him to the other place. In order to purify this area, as not to establish this place as a makom of caves filled with bodies, to allow them. So we want to be mitar Eretz Yisrael as much as possible, not in order that kohanim and people don't become tame. So once we thought of a reason to remove the first two, we allow you to continue to do it out to the concern of keeping Eretz Yisrael tahor.
You still have to look for bodies, though.
Still have to look for bodies, right, because the body still is matame, a person. It still is matame, but we had to remove the tame body elsewhere. But in Echanami, you have to look for them still. So the Gemara says now the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a new Mishnah, Kol Safik Negoi Metchila Tahor. Anytime there's a Safik, the Kohen's not sure what the status is of this Nega, it's tahor. Ad shlo niska. No? Did I skip something? Oh, I skipped a lot. Yeah, I'm sorry. I did skip. Back up. Two dots. Badak me'esim amma. That's where we're up to, right? Badak me'esim amma v'lo matza. So you checked 20 amos and you couldn't find the body. My, what's the halacha? So I would assume the halacha is that you draw the line and that's the base kfaros is over. So amar rav minashe bar yirmi, amar rav, no, shchunas kfaros. It's called the shchunas kfaros. What do you mean shchunas kfaros? What's he saying here? So look at Tosa. Tosa's writes here. Let's go first to the one above. Badak mi esem amav lo matza mai. Tosa explains, Dile'echem in aruchos. You checked one side and you did not find 20 amos in that direction, any mace. Mi amrinan kiecha de l'ruch ze lo matza lo yezed zakek levdok l'shar aruchos bendabers bedaruchos zu leka olo. So the fact that I looked to the east and there were no mace there, and does that tell me I'm safe from the other directions as well? Or no, that was one side, but it's very possible the base kfaros was leaning towards the other side. So I'm not sure the suffix so much. It seems to be obvious you have to check all the whole radius. So Amar Rav Masharishya Shchunas Kvaros. The answer is Kolomar Shchunas Kvaros Shal Shlosha Shanimtsu Kvar Yeshlo. You already have established the three mace next to each other. That's a Shchunas Kvaros. You don't have to check any further. My time. That's what the Gemara answers. Again, it should go to the Gemara now. My time. Why not? The obvious answer should be you have to check all four sides. The answer is once we have an excuse that one side is okay, that's enough reason. Because Amri Shlakish Ila Matzah. Once you find a little Pesach of Tara, we don't make you look any further. We allow you to look the other way and assume the other sides are also good. We don't want to create any more tumah than there is. It's fascinating. Now, the Numisha tells us that Kol Safik Negarim Tchila Tahor, anytime there's a Safik by Negarim, the Lach is that it's Tahor, Ad Shlom Nizkak Lutuma, until it becomes Vadei Tumah. Once the person's established as a Mitzora, and then there's a Sveika, whether it's gone away or not, then it's Tameh. All goes based on the Chazaka. So the Gemara says, how do I know this is true? So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Kar, the Pasuk says, L'taharo ul'tamo. They connect the issue of being Mitar and to being Mitameh. Right, that's the Pasuk in Mitzora. So the Gemara says, Ho Pasuk ba'akasa b'tara t'chila, since the Pasuk first introduced the concept of Tara first, tells us that whenever there's a suffix, we always assume safe, we always assume that suffix is tahar, since that was introduced first. So the Gemara says, Ihachi afilu mishinizak latuma, na misveko tahar. So if we always, tahar is the first thing, we always opt for the tahar versus the tame, so even in the case where the guy's already tame, and now there's a suffix, whether the neg is a nega, we should also be metahir. Because latara or latama, we should always try to assume latara. So that can't be the reason. Elakid ma dirav Yehuda marav aha. Rav Yehuda's Rav statement was on a different point. It was said in the following. Aha itmar. In Beheros kadma l'sear lavan tame. If the Beheros, which is one of the movement, the one of the Negayim, there are different types of Negayim that came before the white hair grew, then the dinit's tame. Vim sear lavan kodam the Beheros tahor. But if the white hair came before the Beheros came, then there would be tahor. Safek, that's you're not sure which came first. The halacha is that's tame. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yeshua rather, omer kiha. Kia literally means dim. What does it mean? My kia? What does that mean, kia? Amar Yehuda, kia vatar. We view this as being a dim color, and we therefore view it as being tahor. So that's machlokis and a suffix. Which came first, the hair or the nega? It's suffix tame according to the Tanakhama, and suffix tahor according to Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Vidilma kia vatame. Maybe he says it should be tame. He doesn't tell us tahor vatame. How are you interpreting the word kia to mean tahor? So Amar Yehuda, Amarav, Amru kra, litaro o litamo. Since the Pasuk introduced Tara before Tame, so therefore Bishua says, in the case of which came first, the Neg or the Seyar, we could assume the Tara. But it's not referring to all cases of Sveika, it's only talking about the situation of Seyar versus the Nega. Now, the Gemara doesn't answer the question in the first place, how you know it's true that when there's a Suffolk guy who's Tahor, and there's a Suffolk Nega, we assume Tahor. And if he's already a Mitzorah, and then there's a Suffolk, we assume Tameh, he doesn't answer the Gemara. But that's based on what Tosus is telling us in the Dibur Maskil Kol Suffolk. He says it's based on Chazakas. The guy is a Cheskas Tara, so a Suffolk's not going to remove him from his Cheskas Tara. If the guy is already Tameh, so a Suffolk's not going to remove him from his Suffolk, his Cheskas Tumah. 7:36, maybe we'll stop here. Tomorrow's a short daf, at least Amud Beis is a short daf, and it's the last daf of Masechta, so maybe let's pick it up from here tomorrow if that's okay. Okay, shkoyach to you guys.